Midway Concrete and Garden Supplies. Call 1800 Midway, midwayconcrete.com.au. Essendon Havel and Great Wall. Drive away deals made for everyone. EssendonHavel.com.au.
Drive with Bob Murphy and Andy Marr on SEN.
Great to have you with us. Beautiful afternoon where we are. Hopefully it's likewise wherever you find yourself. Rob Harding about to join us. Just fly the flag and set the scene for a conversation we'll have later. Some big name players are starting to be engaged in deals that are unfolding over in the NBA as the draft is happening over there Friday our time, and then the crazy trade period where free agency is going to kick in. In amongst all of this now, Oklahoma, because it's pretty much unfettered over there, you can do whatever you want. Oklahoma, who's been in the middle of a deal with Chris Paul, has now got hold of 16, I'll say it again, 16 first-round picks. It owns them between 2020 and 2026. So
that's unusual, isn't it? So unusual.
16 first-round picks in the next 6 years they've got. I want to talk to you about...
What to do with that?
Well,
what to do?
What a world of possibility it opens up for you. But it also shows our model of, you know, training future picks and to be very infantile, doesn't it? Well, we have. And I'm going to ask you a bit later on whether we should take them off. Whether we should take them off and give clubs room to move. I'll have a chat about it a bit later on. But trade period's done. We all know that. We're going to go through them alphabetically for the rest of the week. We started with four yesterday. Great to have Rob Harding casting his eye over them, view to the national draft and what might be most required for the clubs that we're discussing on any given day. And it's two of the really important ones and the busiest ones through this period, Essendon and Geelong, along with the Fremantle Dockers that we're looking at today. Hey, Rob, thanks for joining us, mate.
Good afternoon, guys. Yeah, a couple of the really big teams that are involved in the trade period we're going through today.
Okay, so let's start with the Bombers. They were, you know, huge discussion point, obviously. They had irons in the fire all over the place. And are they going to walk away from this trade period feeling pretty comfortable with the job that they did, do you think?
I think they will. In the end, the Dunkley deal dragged on a lot, went right down to the wire. But I actually think it was the best result for all parties, including Josh. It would have been great for Essendon to get Josh in. He's a big-bodied inside mid that certainly would have fit a need that they have right now. But at the same time, it wasn't worth giving up two first-round draft picks. And to be able to take 6, 7, and 8 to the draft and potentially package two of them up to North Melbourne at pick 2, which would be an ideal result for Essendon, I think is a great place to sit at this time of year.
So you do that?
If I was Essendon, I'm definitely asking the question. Yeah, I'm offering 6 and 8 as a starting point, trying to get pick 2. And looking at Essendon's list, we know they drafted Harry Jones last year as a key forward. But he's only 19. He's going to take some time to come through. If they can get one of these key forwards that are at the very top end of the draft, that would be a great result for them.
Would you chuck
Have you had a look at a couple of these young key forwards? Are you a big fan?
I've had a little bit of a look. Now, it's obviously, we're a little bit restricted this year in terms of what we've been able to see with a lack of games in Victoria in particular. But we know that Jamari Ugalhagen is the standout of the bunch and would it be probably pick one in a normal, uncompromised draft. But the guys that Essendon will be looking at, if they could get to pick 2, obviously Logan McDonald from WA is one, and Riley Philthorpe from South Australia is the other. Now, I think the expectation is that Philthorpe will get picked by Adelaide at pick 1, but I don't think that's a given yet either. I think the Crows have shown historically they picked Paddy Dangerfield over Brad Ebert, who was the local kid, many years ago, that they'll pick the best player available and even put a bid on Jamara at pick 1 if that's what their draft board tells them. So there is some real top-end talent from these key forwards, and there's actually quite a few key position or ruck types through the first 20 picks. So for teams needing a tall, this is a good year to have a pick in the top 20.
Rob, if in discussions, and this is all just us spitballing this and being, you know, obviously hypothetical, but if 6 and 8 was, if you offered that to North and you got a sense that they were a bit interested but something else needed to be added to it, would you be comfortable finding a player as well who you could try and convince to be part of that? Or are we starting to kind of give up too much for that second pick?
No, we're only pick swaps at this time of year, so it has to be just done with the draft picks.
Yeah, and right.
Yeah, and look, I think 6 and 8, if you use the draft points as a bit of a guide, 6 and 8 combined is just a little bit, it's a couple of hundred points more than pick 2. So there's an argument to suggest that maybe something a little bit later has to come back with pick 2. But I think 2 for 6 and 8, if I'm North Melbourne, they've got pick 11, I think it is, as well, in this draft, 2 and 11 at the moment.
Yep.
If they end up with 6, 8 and 11 for a team that's rebuilding and getting mass numbers in, the way that they've changed their list over this year, I think that's more than justifiable. The trade-off their recruiting guys have to make is, what do we lose at pick 2 versus what do we gain at 6 and 8?
So Danaher, Saad, Fantasia go. What are you expecting out of Wright, Caldwell and Hind? Who out of that trio can make a real difference for Essendon, do you think?
I think there's a lot of unknowns, unfortunately, at the moment. Peter Wright, we've seen a fair bit of at AFL footy. We just haven't seen him much in recent years, but he'll get his opportunity straight up. I think there's a fair chance that Cale Hooker will play forward for Essendon next year, and potentially Wright will slot in alongside him. So he'll get every opportunity. Caldwell should get some regular games straight away through the midfield. And I really like Nick Hind. You know, he was on the VFL list at Essendon, played mostly as a half forward, but can play a little bit at half back, and potentially with Saad and McKenna going, that might be a spot for him. But I quite like him as a high half forward. And in the style that they look like they're trying to play, he would fit quite well as that high half forward that gets up the ground and resets back. So I could see Hind having an impact straight away, and the other two maybe building in a little bit of time.
Rob Fremantle at quiet. Obviously, Jesse Hogan was the central piece of their navigation through the trade period. What does that tell you about where the Dockers see themselves?
Look, they did a lot of work last year, Fremantle. So they brought in 3 top 10 picks last year. Hayden Young, Caleb Sarong, who was the rising star, and Liam Henry. So they did a lot of work in the previous draft. They still have pick 12 for this year, but for Fremantle at the moment, the last couple of years have been more about a cultural reset for them. So it's about getting good kids in and building the system now under Justin Longmuir. They've got a good collection of guys who are 22 and under. The little bit of a worry for Fremantle's list is that Mundy next year will go into the season at 35, Stephen Hill at 30, Walters 35, 29. We're getting the back end of the 2013 grand final team is now getting to the back end of their careers. So they're just having to manage that little bit of a transition. The good thing for them this year is they've got a couple of academy kids coming through that are in the top 30. So they'll be able to add a little bit more outside run, which is something I think they need.
Rob, the Cats were able to land their big fish in Jeremy Cameron, but they were pretty active in a couple of others as well. How did you see their trade period and how are they looking for next year?
Yeah, the Cats have put all the chips on the table. They've taken the wallet out, taken all the money out of the wallet. They've taken the watch off and put that on the middle of the table and just about to put the pair of shoes on the table as well, I think. They're all in for the flag and good on them for doing it. It's the right time. They got a great suite of picks back last year with the Tim Kelly deal. It's been lost a little bit, but they did give up 3 first-rounders for Jeremy Cameron. They got 2 second-rounders back, and the 2 second-rounders are attached to GWS and Essendon. So potentially they're in the first sort of 7 to 8 picks of the second round next year. So it's actually not as bad as it sounds when you first hear it. But I like the moves they've made. I think Isaac Smith will be a really important one. For what he could do is potentially release Mark Litsavs to play back behind the ball or play in the ruck, which are areas that, with Harry Taylor retiring and their ruck stocks have always been a little bit inconsistent, he might be able to fill a hole there and help the team going forward. So they're right in the window. The big worry, obviously, is that next year at round one, there'll be 10 guys over the age of 30 and only 4 guys between the age of 23 and 26. So part of Geelong's list strategy going forward is to find some support for Narkel, O'Connor, Atkins and Colajazzi. They're the 4. And we're going to need to build out some more depth through that age bracket. And that's been lost because of trades and free agents that they've brought in recent years to have this crack at a premiership.
And you mentioned that 23 to 26 bracket, and rightfully so. But beneath that, Rob, I say this with all due respect, and we all regard Geelong's list build and list management in pretty highly, but they're not much coming through underneath it. It doesn't look like they've got this stockpile of young players who have signalled to the football community that they are the next wave coming. They've got a couple. I'm not saying they haven't got any, but they haven't got there's not a flotilla of young Geelong players coming through together who are going to form the basis of that next Geelong team in 2 or 3 years' time. It is a delicately placed list at the moment, given the fact that they have decided to have a massive, massive crack in 2021.
he really is delicately placed, you're right. And I think what we saw with Lachie Fogarty going to Carlton is that we're going to have some guys who want opportunities and they're going to try and get out to get them. So he wasn't the only one. Charlie Constable was another one who spoke to the club about whether there will be opportunities to go elsewhere because he wants to play regular footy. He's going into his third year, I think it is, next year, and he wants to play regular senior footy. So that's completely understandable. I think what Geelong have been really good at is cherry-picking guys from other clubs and bringing them in to keep filling the gaps. And they'll back their ability to do that, but they'll be hopeful that guys like Cooper Stevens, Sam De Koning, these guys they've brought in recent years, do come through and to give them that little burst of youth as their list progresses and as we lose some guys off the top end.
Rob, Cameron in, Sean Higgins is in as well. So they've got a heap of talent sort of being injected into their front half. Have you got any concerns that they'll be able to get it to gel quickly?
Yeah, I do. I think Jeremy is a big in. We've sort of spoken about it in previous weeks that he's as important a player who's changed clubs, I think, in the last 10, 15 years. So he's used to being the number one in a forward line. He walks into Tom Hawkins' forward line, and Tom's been the big bull in the paddock for the best part of 10 years now. So, and also, we saw what they did late in the year with Paddy Dangerfield. What does that do for him going forward? Because you're probably not going to play all three of them up there for long periods. So there will be a little bit of time to gel. I think the beauty of Geelong's system is that they've shown that they've been able to incorporate players from other clubs and get them to buy in pretty quickly. So the one little worry I do have with their forward line, outside of those guys gelling, is just that goal-kicking small forward type. I don't think they've quite solved that riddle yet. They do have a good crew of high half forwards that get up the ground, and we've seen guys like Ryan Myers play in that role and come in and have an impact. They just lack for a consistent goal-kicking small forward.
Fascinating. I can't remember a team stating the through its trading and recruiting and list. Bill, I can't remember a team
statement.
Making. Yeah, I can't remember one in my life. And we're dealing in a, we've seen teams prior to national drafts and salary caps, and all, we've seen teams go out and just buy. The team I barrack for used to go and do this all the time, just go and buy the best three players in
Bongo,
South Australia.
Yeah.
Hey, a long time ago when you could do these things, but under this model, I don't know whether you two can remember. Rob, you've probably got more of an acute memory for this sort of stuff, but I can't remember a team really putting a stake in the ground for one season the way Geelong has. And they probably dispute that. They probably say, no, you're selling you short. We're looking way beyond 2021, and I'm sure they are. But gee whiz, it's as you said before, it's everything's on the table for next season, it would seem. I can't remember a club doing this.
No, I can't recall a club going to this level with it. We've seen clubs like Brisbane did it one year with that when Michael Voss was coach. They brought in five players, but they were sort of that mid-age range players. Geelong have done it in the last couple of years with Ablett, Jack Stephen, now with Higgins and Smith, where they're guys right at the end of their career and they're having that 1 or 2 year window at a flag. Jeremy Cameron's a bit different because he's 27. He'll be there for 6 or 7 years, you would think. So this is a changing landscape, and you guys were talking before about the NBA and the future picks that get traded there. I'd like to see in the long term us do the same thing and sort of open up the range of picks available to be swapped, and it would allow for a bit more movement and a bit more creativity. And potentially then you can have a crack in 1 year, but also look to make some trades and then get some picks back for future years and balance it out a little bit more.
So last one on that, I was going to ask you that. You've been inside clubs. Are they to be trusted? This is, I feel like the AFL doesn't trust clubs to not mismanage this. If they do open it up, I think the fear is that some clubs will make some mistakes that could prove catastrophic, and they want to guard against that. Do you have that concern? Are you confident that we don't have kind of maverick clubs that'll do something that they'll live to regret?
Yeah, it's not a concern I have. I understand it from the AFL's perspective, but it's not up to the AFL to manage how the clubs manipulate their lists and do their list management. So this is the chance you take with every draft. And we talked before about North Melbourne trading pick 2 for 6 and 8. Well, we might look back in 5 years' time and say that was great. We might look back and say it was a terrible move based on who the players are and what the clubs do in between. But it's not up to the AFL to pick that. So I'm, as with everything, also, as with rule changes and everything else, I'm up for allowing the clubs plenty of freedom and let them live and die by their decisions.
Don't you think, the question to both of you, that AFL footy tends to be more cautious with this sort of stuff, with trading and drafting? It seems more conservative and that it's the one who goes bold that is successful, that then that lifts the watermark. Oh, let's chase that. It's pretty rare that it's sort of all in to, and then it falls over. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure we need these training wheels on the train.
Yeah, I don't think either of us disagree with you, to be honest. Hey, Rob, tomorrow, Gold Coast Giants, Hawthorn and Melbourne will continue. We really appreciate you making the time to do this with us. It's good to have you casting your insight across it and having us have the opportunity to bounce off it, mate. So thanks again, and we'll speak to you about the same time tomorrow.
Sounds good, guys. Really enjoying it.
Good man. Rob Harding going through the trade period and what's to come. Righto, let's have a chat about this on the other side of the break. Do we need the protections in the AFL that they seem to want to apply to the clubs when it comes to some of the elements of trading? And, well, I've got a couple of thoughts, and I'm sure Bob's got one or two as well. We'll put them out there on the other side of the break, and feel free to agree or disagree. 1300 736 736.